Living Hope Assembly of God.
If you have your Bible, let's go again to Psalm 23. I told you guys I was going to finish this message. That'll be beneficial for you down the road. Psalm 23, and are we there? Amen. And I'm just going to do some quick bringing you back up to speed where we left off the last time. But we'll get to where I'm trying to get to in just a moment. And I'll try not to hold you no longer than at least a couple hours. I haven't preached to you in a while. I had a chance to preach when I got home. I was like, okay, I'm just going to go to church. And I got there right before worship was over. And my pastor back home came out and he hugged me, and I was sitting, because the church I grew up in, the preachers were sitting on stage, and I was sitting up there when he came out. He was very surprised to see me, and he whispered in my ear. He said, if I had known that you were here, you would be preaching this morning. And so later on, the message that he preached was called From the Prison to Praise. From the Prison to Praise. It was a message that I needed greatly at the moment, considering all of the trouble that we have with our vehicle. And before that, God had given me a similar word in the night, and I began to rejoice about that, because sometimes we allow our situations and circumstances to dictate our reality. The reality is that we are a child of God and that we are victorious no matter what the things around us may look like. And so with that being said, and I had a chance, I got up after he had preached and everything, and God really began to download things into my spirit, and I began to minister that way. Long story short, praise report, at the end of the service, I had no idea that they were going to do this. And my pastor, he made a statement. He said, I don't ever do this. In church, you know I don't ever do this. And he said, you know, I feel like we need to da 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 for Minister Charles, or however he said, Pastor Charles, or whatever he said. And he said, we need to give them, you know, give an offering for them. And that offering that they gave really helped to offset a lot of the money that we were out of because of the vehicle. And so it was a big blessing, a huge blessing. And, you know, we don't know why we go through some of the things that we go through, but I tell you what, God has a plan. Amen. Regardless of what we're going through, no matter what we're facing. And we could not wait to get home, get rested up, and to be here today, because we know that God desires to speak to our church here. And we want to be obedient to what God desires to say. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though, somebody say even though. Even though. What that tells me is that there are going to be valleys. You can't escape it. There's no way around it. You're going to have valley days. You're going to have hard times in your life, difficult situations. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the Bible says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table. Who is you in this text? God prepare a table before me. Where? In the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. You set me aside. You called me unto yourself. I am yours. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We need to understand this morning that if God is your shepherd, no matter what we are in need of, he is the provider. No matter what we lack, he's going to make up for it. If you need strength, he is your strength. I firmly believe that if we follow the plan of God for our lives, we're going to have success. That doesn't say that we're not going to have bumps in the road. That's not to say that we're not going to have difficulties, because we are. If you look at the text as a whole, the 23rd Psalm will talk about a region that was predominantly dry and barren in a lot of areas, more areas than not. And the psalmist is painting a picture of where God is going to lead his people. Sometimes you have to go through the valley to get to the mountaintop. Sometimes you have to go through the fire in order to come out like pure gold. Regardless if you want it to or not, life has a way of pressing on you. I like the way one preacher said it: when life presses on you, and what comes out will determine what you're made of. When life begins to squeeze on you, what comes out? Do you call out on the name of the Lord, or do you call out in a derogatory way? When life presses on you, do you go to other resources, or do you go to the main resource? I'm telling you this because the DNA of the church, the makeup of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know there are many options, but we only desire to go one way. The makeup of the church, the DNA of the church, the desire of the church, the heart of the church, when we are going through our toughest situation, that's when we rise to the top and become our greatest. Not because we are great, because he is great. Greater is the God that is in us than the devil that is in where? The world. And we need to keep our minds focus on that. The Bible says that he will lead us into green pastures. Green pastures, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. The psalmist was really referring to what is called the Shephelah. The Shephelah was a stretch of land along the Mediterranean Sea in between the mountain range right there. And when the shepherd, and it was all about timing, because there would be a shadow that would cast over that plot of land, the Shephelah right there. And during that time, a green substance like plant would come up, and it would grow, and it would be there for a certain amount of time. And it was very important that the shepherds would get the sheep to this place, the Shephelah. And while the sheep were there, they would graze. And as the sun would begin to rise, the shadow would begin to diminish. And it was important that the shepherd consistently walk with the shadow, because as the shadow would move, the part that was exposed by the sun would begin to wither up and die. It's very important, church, that we follow the leading of God. Some of us have stopped following the leading of God, and the very thing that was a blessing before has become a curse. The very thing that God had placed right there, the green grass, the green substance, whatever that thing may be in your life, the sun, the shadow is moving because the sun is rising, and the very thing that God had said was a blessing before is now withering up. And God is the reason why it's withering up, because God is no longer there, and you need to be moving with God as the shadow begins to diminish. Some of us, we stay in one place so long. And of course, God bless you in that place. It was never God's desire for the children of Israel to stay in the wilderness. But while they were in the wilderness, he blessed them there. Some of us, we have stayed in a place in our minds, and in our hearts because of circumstances and situations. And now we're stuck. And we wonder why. It seems like God is no longer there. And it seems like the blessings of God are withering away. God is consistently moving. He never stays in a place of apathy. See, because if God, you know what? This is a nugget. God allowed for there to be certain movements. We talked about it, and it was, I just refer back to it, the holiness movement. He allowed, and his spirit moved in that, amen? How many have studied church history? There was a holiness movement. God really moved and stirred amongst the people. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. I'm bringing us up to speed. But listen, God knows that he has to change things. The word of God never changes. But God changes things because he knows that we will become comfortable where we are. One. And number two, if God doesn't change the method, we will rely on the method instead of relying on God. And number three, if God doesn't change things, we become comfortable. And number four, if God doesn't change things, and this is the biggie, we will worship that very thing that God placed in our hands as a blessing. We will look at that thing as something to attain, as if it's some kind of trophy. And that's what happened, I feel, with the holiness movement. It became something that people boasted about because they thought if they wore long sleeves and they thought if they wore the longest dresses and that became what they sought after instead of seeking after the living God. So God moved. And many people stayed, but God moved. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? We have to move with God. Another reason when God moves is we have a tendency to think like, God, why are you moving? You're on our time. We're not on yours. Can I tell you that God is not on your time, but we're on his time? And we need to be listening and following the leading of God. I'm talking about if we're listening and following the leading of God, I'm talking about prosperity spiritually and physically and whatever else we may need. Can I get an amen? I'm not preaching to a dead church. We're preaching to a church that is alive. Amen. We need to be a church that is following the leading of God if we want success, if we want to be prosperous in every area of life. But regardless of what you go through, there are going to be times where you maybe seem to be down, but if you're with God, you're always up. The Bible says in verse 4, David uses the words, even though I walk through the valley. Now we're up to where I want it to be today. You're going to have valley days, church. You're going to get sick. Yeah. The Bible says that it's appointed to man once to die, and then the judgment. You're going to get sick. There are moments you're going to get angry. There are moments you're going to drop the ball. Don't let it surprise you. When you stumble, don't let it surprise you when you make mistakes. But when you make mistakes and when you stumble, quickly repent. Why? Because you're standing before a holy God. And who can I repent to except to Jesus, the shepherd that is leading me? So he knows that difficult season, that difficult moments are going to arise in our lives. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This valley was a literal place on the path from Jericho up to Jerusalem. It is said to be very narrow, with the sunlight almost completely blocked out. This would have also been the place where Jesus was alluding to in the story of the Good Samaritan. In this area, many people were robbed, beaten, and even murdered on their way either to the temple or on their way to buy and sell goods. And here in our text, the shepherd is leading the sheep through this valley of the shadow of death. We like to believe that God will only take us around the other way and allow us to dodge all the bad things in life. Listen, some of the bad things in life that you go through, you might ought to celebrate because God is trying to do something in your life. God is trying to bring us to a place in Him, and oftentimes the troubles in our lives will help us to see God more clearly and help us to gain a dependency on God. For many people, they turn and become atheists because God is not some genie in a bottle and gives us what we want. God, listen, you're going to go through things and bad things are going to happen, but you need to come to the realization, regardless of what happens to me, my trust and my hope is in the living God. What is your valley in darkness represents? The valley in darkness represents a place of uncertainty. I don't know what tomorrow may look like, but I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know what is going to happen to me, the Apostle Paul said, but he was still willing to go to Jerusalem because he understood that he was on a mission for God and that God had all things under control. The valley and darkness is a place where we learn, where we grow. The valley in darkness is a place where we learn what we are truly made of. The valley in darkness represents a place where you learn who your true friends are. Amen. I have a lot of people that were with me when I had a lot of money and did a lot of bad things. But the moment that I gave my heart to Jesus, most of those friends dissipated really fast, quick and in a hurry. They got out of Dodge. And they still don't want anything to do with me today because I don't have anything to offer them. The valley in darkness is a place where we learn to trust God. This is the story of the believer. If you grab a hold of this today, you'll leave here empowered. Amen? Amen. The valley is a place of dread, but for the believer, his or her confidence and reliance is not on what they see, but it is in the strength and the ability of the shepherd that is leading them. So with confidence and assurance, we can look our fears in the eyes and say, I am persuaded that his grace shall be sufficient for me. Can you look at your sickness in the eye, your difficulty in the eye, and say, his grace is sufficient for me? The Apostle Paul, with the thorn in his flesh, he understood that the grace of God was sufficient. Did he ask questions? Yes. Did he petition God? Yes. Will we petition God? Yes. But at the end of the day, God is going to tell you, my grace is sufficient for you. Why? Because he is the shepherd. He is the great shepherd that watches over his sheep. I'm persuaded that he is sufficient for me and that he will make even death itself work for my good. Observe what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. He asked the question, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the law is sin is, pardon me, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, where does your victory come? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. How will we continue to be victorious? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. In my own strength, in my own ability, I am going to eventually fail. But when I rely on the strength of Jesus Christ, when I feel like giving up, I remind myself who I am in Jesus Christ. When I feel like life is about to be over, I realize where real life comes from. You know who gets angry in that? The enemy of our soul. Feel like you're going to die. You start to quote the scripture, I shall live and not die. I shall be here to proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. When we start to believe it, you know what? Some of us have problems with believing it because we're looking at things out of the peripheral. We're looking at things that seem to be real. Sometimes they are real. Don't get me wrong. Your sickness is real. Your situation is real. Your child may be lost, and that is real. But even though that is real, it's not bigger than your God. And that's who our focus should be on. How can we say this with such confidence? I want you to notice what David said. It is for one reason and one reason only. David said, for thou art with me. Can you say that? He's with you, church. Amen. I know it may not seem like it, but God is with you. Here's the ground of a true Christian's confidence when in the valley of the shadow of death, God is with him, and his presence inspires him with confidence and comfort, hope and joy. It affords him light in the midst of dark, the darkest valley, and life in the midst of death. We see by leading his sheep through this area, the shepherd would have put his own life in danger to protect his sheep. If you have John chapter 10, turn there with me for a moment. Verses 7 through 11. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Somebody say, will be saved. There's no might in that, but will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus laid his life down for you and I. But too often we got this woe in this passage of scripture. Jesus is wanting us to know in the text that he is truly the only shepherd. And he is the good shepherd. But there are going to be many imposters that come our way and going to try to pretend to be a good guide, a good leader for us. But we are to remember that Jesus, listen, there are many religions to date. There are many idols and many gods that are being worshipped around the world today. There are more now than there were in the Bible days. But Jesus simply said that I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And if you want to come to God, He is the only way. There is no other way. When we look, there was the rod and the staff that the shepherd would use during times of struggle and danger. The rod and the staff would be used to protect, to guide the sheep. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, that the sheep are not very smart animals. They're not very smart, and they're partly blind, and they need the guide of a shepherd. And I don't know about you, but I need God to guide me. Because if God doesn't guide me, I will go astray. I will go the pathway of doing evil things and being an evil person. But with God guiding me and listening to His voice, I'm always going to go in the right direction. Amen. Jesus also is also there to comfort us with His rod and staff. The meaning of the Hebrew word for rod is sabet, and the staff is mishnah. And these are very special. The Hebrew word sabet has the idea of a stick. It originally referred to a part of a tree. In the Old Testament, the stick was also used to count sheep in Leviticus 27 and 32. It was also used to protect the sheep from other animals. In the book of Proverbs, the stick is used for discipline. How many of you know that every now and then God has to discipline those that He loves? Amen. He has to discipline us because He has a desire and a plan and a direction for our lives, and it's very important that we receive His discipline. It's very important that we receive it. Are you allowing God to lead your life? Husbands, God has given us a great responsibility to lead our families. Parents, God has given us a great responsibility to lead our children. Wives, God has given you a great responsibility in leading and in following the leadership of your husband. The Bible says in Proverbs 31, the leadership for the wife, she is to come alongside of her husband and help in the needed affairs. She is to teach her children in the fear of the Lord. In doing this, her husband and children will arise and call her blessed. The Bible also says in Ephesians 5 and 22 through 28, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, which He is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Those are great responsibilities that God has given each and every one of us as shepherds. No matter how you want to admit it or not, whatever area you are in, whether it's a wife or a husband, you play a shepherd's role at some point in your life. And what you do with that responsibility as being shepherd in that area, you're going to have to give an account to God. I'm going to have to give an account to God. As God leads us, as a husband, I lead my family. And as God gives us children, our spouses play a key role in leading our children. But in essence, who are we all following? Christ. You want to see a church flow together in harmony? You want to see a healthy church? Let us all follow Jesus. Let us all follow the Word of God. We live in a day where 50% of first-time marriages, 67% of second-time marriages, and 74% of third-time marriages end in divorce. I know that this is in part because of the sin that is in the world. However, I also feel that it's because of men and women have failed to allow God to lead their lives. When we fail to allow God to lead, we fall back into our sinful nature. We fall back into depravity. We fall back into doing things like we always have done them. But God is wanting us to do things the way that He desires for them to be done. Three things God has given us as a guide until He comes back. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. He has given us His holy word. He has given us His precious Holy Spirit. He has given us a spokesman or spokesperson for this day and time. And very briefly, we're going to talk about these and we're going to wrap this message up and be done with it. His word, His holy word. He has given us His holy word. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, that the word of the Lord is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. You know why so many of us stumble through life? Because we're not in God's word. Do you believe that? When you see a person stumbling through life, it's because they don't, if we're not reading God's word, how can we understand and know the things of the Spirit? If we're not in God's word, how can we know the heart of God and the plan of God? We are in a day and time where we have so much information at our fingertips. But because we have so much information at our fingertips, many of us have come to a place, oh, I can go do that anytime. It's accessible. I can read the Bible anytime. I can pray anytime. My pastor, he has umpteen degrees. He's going to teach me everything I need to know. But unless you hide it in your heart, that's the only way we won't sin against Him. Did you get that? How can we hide it in His heart except we meditate on it? Unless we read it, unless we study it. The Greek meaning of the term word used here is dabar, or daba, which means that God's word in the life of the believer is a guide or a life-sustaining source. Daba. It's a guide. It's a life-sustaining source. Have you ever had a difficult situation and all of a sudden, out of the blue, the word of God pops in your mind? That should happen all the time. I wonder how would that affect our decision making. If every time I'm faced with a difficulty, a scripture pops up. I believe it'll be life transforming for the believer. The word of God is like a treasury when we are faced with opposition. We are able to reach into the treasure of God's holy word that is hidden in our hearts and apply it to our lives. The Bible says in Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. There are those times when you're faced with life-changing decisions, and it is in those moments that it is the hardest season to trust God. Have you ever been there? But it's in those moments, it's in those seasons where God begins to speak to you, when fear begins to grip you. It is in those moments and in those seasons that we can distinctively hear the voice of God saying, do not fear, for it is I. It's in those moments and in those seasons where the believer is sharpened, he is strengthened. I remember one time I was going through a difficult time in my life, and I had been a believer for a couple, 3 years maybe. And I had a car, I was doing well, working a full-time job, just living life. And all of, I was sent, that was back in the day when you send, I sent my money order in to pay my car note. And this guy who was just this mean person, evidently, and he had, my money order had gotten there late or something like that, but it had gotten there, and he would not tell me that my money order was there. And for the next couple weeks, my life was just terrible. I didn't know what was going to happen. I woke up in the middle of the night. My car was being repossessed and being carried off down the street. And eventually, he finally got it. They took my car away. And I remember getting off work one night. And I remember calling out to the Lord. And I said, God, I don't know. I don't know what to do at this point. And I prayed and I talked to God. And I went in the house, it was a couple weeks later, and I called the dealership, the place who gave, the bank that gave me the loan and everything for the car, and I asked to speak with that individual. And they paused for a moment, and she said, hold on, and she got back on the phone, and she said, this guy, he no longer works here. And she said, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but he was recently fired from his position here at this company. And in the middle of all of that, God told me and showed me that he was in control and that he heard my prayer. Why? Because he's the shepherd, amen? Whatever you're facing this morning, there's no situation too big for God. But God is waiting on us to talk to him, to call on his name, to get in his word, to seek him with the whole heart. And this is a side note. I want to say this. Guys, listen, if we want God to answer us, sometimes we have to be like Daniel. We like the delicacies more than we like the fast. Sometimes we have to let go of the very things. Sometimes we have to give up something. Sometimes we have to give up something in order for God to give us that breakthrough. Amen? 2 weeks ago, I talked about David's position. He understood his position in the Lord. The question is, do you understand your position in the Lord? When we look at the life of Job, man, Job lived a rough life. He lost his children. He lost his possessions. He lost much of his health. I'm talking about the treasury that's inside of us. What did he say when he was faced with the toughest time of his life? He said, the Lord gives. Job 1 and 27. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you hear me, church, this morning? I want you to look this morning at the psalm. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. A table in the presence of your enemies. A table in the presence of your situations. A table in the presence of your circumstance. If you'll stand this morning, we're going to close this out. I'm trying to get a church to come to a place where if he is leading, we're following. I need you to understand something, that life will not always be a bed of roses. Every now and then, you're going to go through the valley. But listen to what the psalmist said. He said that he would prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What I get in my mind is when a table being prepared in the presence of my enemies, I picture God walking into this room. And let's just say for a moment, I know that you are my friends, my brethren, and my sisters, and the family of God. Can I use you as an illustration? I'm right here, trembling with all fear, and all of a sudden, God busts through the back doors. I'm looking at my enemies like this. Oh, goodness gracious, I'm going to die. God walks in. He never acknowledges my enemies. He comes before me with his back to my enemies and begins to prepare a feast, a celebration, a feast. You have a feast because there's victory. You have a feast because there's prosperity. You don't have a feast if the enemy is waiting at the gate unless you know that you are going to be victorious over your enemy. Listen, when God prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemy, what he is telling you is, greater is me that is in you than him that is in the world. Your enemy might be a sickness in your body. Your enemy might be a situation on your job. Your enemy might be your finances. Whatever your enemy is, God has prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemy. The problem is, are we willing to walk through the valley? Are we willing to follow God? When we see the darkness of the valley, will we stop on the mountain and just enjoy life right there? Or will we walk with God through the valley so that we can come out on the other side where there are greater blessings, where there are more victories, where there's the prosperity of the Lord? What are you willing to do? Some of us today probably might be in a valley. I know we can camp out in the side of prosperity when life is good and everything's going well. It's easy to trust God. It's easy to follow him. But what about the valley? When the only way that you can see, I want you to catch this. The only way to see in the darkness of the valley is to follow the light. He is the light of the world. So many of us, I find it just so crazy that some of us, we can become comfortable in the valley. And some of us, we've been living in the valley for about 20 years now because the voice of our father, mother, a person in your life, a person that you had a lot of confidence in, they spoke a negative word over you and it placed you in a valley. You have made up in your mind that life's not going to get any better. I'm always going to be this. I'm always going to be that. I'm not ever going to be what I feel like I can be. Because you're living in a valley. You feel hopeless. See, the valley is a place of dread, a place of despair, a place of uncertainty. The reason why you're in the valley is because you've stopped following. You don't have the joy that you used to have because you're in a valley. Your dependency is on things. What can get me out of this valley? I think I'm going to go over here. I'm going to try this. I'm going to do that. Instead of saying, let me get back up. He's not too far away. The prodigal son said, I will arise. And he arose. And he went. See, Jesus is beckoning you to come out of the valley. Some of us this morning may be saying, Jesus, I'm scared. I've been let down so many times. I've had so many bad things to happen to me. I feel safe right here. I feel comfortable in this valley, in the closet of my own self. I hear the voice of the Lord saying, whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Living Hope Assembly of God.